All right, let me ask you to turn once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll just review a couple of verses that we started with last week. We finished our study on the life of Christ, and now for the next few weeks I'd like to give you a few Bible studies, lessons, if you will, on typology that is found in the Bible. It's very, very important. Way of studying the Bible. There are many little tools that we can use to help us as we study the Bible. And a study of types is a very important tool. It is very useful, very helpful. And as I explained to you last week, the Lord did an amazing thing when He pieced together the Bible for us. And the Bible is written by God. It's not man's book. It's God's book. And God has pieced the Bible together. There's no way that a human being could have written the Bible. It's just too complicated. It's too the design is beyond any human comprehension. This must be the Word of God. It must be written by God. That little poem that I quoted for you a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if I can quote it again now or not. Well, maybe I can. The Holy Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not, if I could, believe that good men wrote it to deceive. And bad men would not, if they could, proceed to write a book so good. And no crazy man could e'er conceive its wondrous plan. So pray, what other groups of men than do these three groups comprehend? So it must be that God inspired the souls and pens that prophets fired. This is God's book, folks. And the amazing thing about it is the way it fits together and makes a unity to present a message. And so typology is very important, for it is a part of that unity. Now, last week I read for you several verses. I want to just read one verse from this from this chapter, and then we'll turn to one other chapter in Hebrews, and I'll read another verse there. But verse 1 through verse 6 is talking about the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and went into the wilderness. And Paul says here that in verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now notice, Paul said these things, the things that happened in the book of Exodus and the things that happened for us in Deuteronomy and in Numbers when they came out of Egypt and went through the Red Sea and God led them and provided for them. All that, Paul said, is an example. It is showing us something. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians and very quickly go over to Hebrews 9 and then leave your mark this so you can bounce back to it here in a little bit. But in this passage, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the tabernacle. And he is telling us about how the tabernacle had a veil, and it had a special room that had a veil that kept you out of it. That special room was called the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all. And it was the place where the Shekinah of God, the glory of God, the essence of God dwelt over the Ark of the Covenant. He goes on and tells you all about the cherubims, et cetera, et cetera. Verse 7, how that the priest went in, but he had to have blood, not without blood, it says. He had to have blood that he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And verse 8, the writer here says, the Holy Ghost this signifying. In other words, everything that took place in that tabernacle, all of that stuff had a purpose. It was the Holy Spirit of God trying to show us something, trying to illustrate a point, trying to make the point. Now, that was last week. You said, okay, that took you 4 minutes. Why couldn't you just speak 4 minutes last week? Well, that's a good question. And I'm not going to speak 4 minutes tonight, but just a little review so that you're caught up to date. And tonight we want to look at the reason that we study types, the reason that we look at the types that are found in the Bible. And I want you to listen very carefully tonight, folks. I don't know how far I'm going to get through this, because the more I go over it in my mind, the more I see. But we'll just start through it. If we don't finish tonight, we'll finish it next week. But let's pray, and then the lesson on the reason for studying types. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask your blessings on us tonight as we open the Scripture. And Father, I pray that you will help each one of us to pay close attention tonight. And Lord, get a little better understanding of the Scriptures. Lord, I pray that we will get the point and see the thought. And Lord, realize the importance of reading the Bible and looking at it, Lord, through discerning eyes. And Lord, being able to see the types and what you were doing and what you were showing. And Lord, may we read the Bible in that light. And Father, help us to learn the examples and learn the illustrations. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. Hey, remember last week I showed you that God did something amazing when he pieced together the Word of God. You know, in most sermons, in most books, in most studies, in most speeches, wherever there is a presentation of truth, the author always starts with his thesis. And then, in other words, the thesis, he tells you, here's what I'm going to talk about. And he will give you his thesis at the beginning of his book or at the beginning of his sermon. And then the body of his book or the body of his message will be illustrations and proofs and validation of that truth that he is giving you. Now, you understand that? You see what I'm saying? But the amazing thing is that God, when he gave us the Bible, did the exact opposite. God gave us an entire Old Testament, 39 books that are the illustrations of 27 books of New Testament truth. You see the point? You know, people tell me all the time, well, I read the New Testament, but I don't read the Old. You're missing so much. You're missing so much. For the Old Testament is the illustration of the New Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And all of those 39 Old Testament books are vital to a right and proper interpretation and understanding of the New Testament. Now, we know that the theme of the New Testament is the gospel. The gospel is defined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 by the Apostle Paul as Christ crucified, buried, and risen again from the dead according to the Scripture. We know what the gospel is. You hear all the time people saying that the gospel is that it means good news. Well, it's good news, but that's not what gospel means. You take the word and break it down. Go spell. Go spell. Folks, the gospel is the word of God. Not just one little section or one little piece. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the gospel is the word of God. It is go spell. What do we do? What do we do when we spell? We make words. Go spell, God's Word. The gospel is the Word of God. And so we know that the gospel it can be summarized as it was by Paul as Christ crucified according to the Scriptures, buried, and then risen again from the dead according to the Scripture. And the Old Testament, Now listen very carefully and you'll understand typology. The Old Testament is filled with incidents, people, events, laws, and ceremonies which all picture and point to some aspect of Jesus Christ as the one that gave us the gospel. Everything in this Old Testament is a picture and it points to some aspect of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer who came to die and be buried and then resurrect from the grave. So typology and understanding typology is very, very important. And it is something that we need to be aware of, and we need to read the Bible looking for the pictures and the illustrations of that New Testament truth. Now, tonight I want us to answer the question, why should we study types from the Bible? Well, there are many reasons, and I want to try and reduce the many into just a few and share some things that I trust will encourage you to read your Bible and look for the types. Types occupy a very prominent position in the Scripture, and I want to give you a few reasons why we should study typology. Number one, it is clear that God Himself sets great value upon types. God Himself sets great value upon types. From the text that I read for you tonight in verse 6 in 1 Corinthians 10, and also from the passage in Hebrews chapter 9, we learn that the Spirit of God is the author, the designer of all the pictures and types in the Bible. God, the Spirit, stresses in these two passages of Scripture for us the importance of studying types. If you'll remember last week when we looked at Hebrews chapter 9, we learned that the author said that every detail in the construction of the tabernacle, every detail in the construction of the tabernacle was planned and designed by God. It was all arranged and designed and planned by God. And then in that ninth chapter in the eighth verse, the Holy Spirit this signifying. In other words, folks, when God put that veil in the tabernacle that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, the point is that veil meant something. It wasn't just hanging there to make decoration. It wasn't just hanging there for no reason. It was there for a purpose and was meant to convey a lesson to God's people. And folks, I want you to understand and see that there is a whole world of meaning and understanding for us if we will just read the Bible and especially the Old Testament looking for these types and then finding the fulfillment of those types in New Testament truth. Do you remember in John 16 when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room and they were talking about, he was talking about going away. And they were quite distraught over that. And they said, Lord, don't leave us. And Jesus said, wait a minute, guys, it is expedient for you that I go away. Remember that? And the Lord Jesus said something very important. He said, if I go, He said, I will not leave you without a comforter. Thank the Lord. When He left, He sent back the Holy Spirit. And He promised the disciples that He would send back the Holy Spirit. But do you remember what He said that Holy Spirit would do for them once He came? If you'll remember, He said that when He sent back the Spirit, He shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Jesus said, He shall guide you in all truth. Jesus said to the disciples, when the Spirit is come, He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And folks, this is why we should read the Bible, and as we read, look for the types, and then seek to learn the New Testament fulfillment of that type, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us the great message of redemption and what Jesus came to do. Now, let me illustrate this for you. Let's suppose that you get saved, and you're told by the person that leads you to Christ, or the pastor says after he introduces you as newly receiving Christ as your Savior, that you should now read the Bible. And let's suppose that you go home and you start reading the Bible. And you go to the book of Genesis and you read it. And then you start reading the book of Exodus. And you start reading about how God was telling Moses about the tabernacle that he was to build. And you read about this veil that hung between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And you read how that only one man, one time a year, was allowed to go through that veil. But that he could not go through that veil on that one day, that one man, without having the blood of a lamb. And so you read that in the book of Exodus. And you say, well, I wonder what that's all about. Yeah, I've heard that. I remember hearing that story when I was a little kid. Oh, yeah, I remember I watched the Exodus on TV at Easter time one time. I remember hearing this, but now you read it out of the Bible, and lo and behold, you're reading about a veil, and one man, one time a year, not without blood, could go beyond that veil with a blood offering. So you think, I wonder what that's all about. And so you keep reading, and eventually you get over to the Gospels. And you're reading the Gospels, and you read all about the life of Jesus and how he ministered on this earth for 3.5 years. And then how the soldiers came and arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they took him to the house of Caiaphas, and they tried him, and they beat him through the night. And then they carried him over to Pilate, and Pilate interrogated him. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Send him over to Herod. So they send him to Herod, back to Pilate. Pilate said, go ahead and crucify him. So they take him to Calvary, nail him to the cross. He's hanging on the cross, and he cries seven cries from the cross. And finally lifts his head and says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when Jesus made those words and died, the Bible says that the earth shook, and suddenly in the temple, that veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place was torn from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. As signifying, showing that there was no way that any man had anything to do with that veil tearing. It had to have been the work in the hand of God. And as you read that, you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, I've read about that veil before. So you go back to Exodus, and there you find the tabernacle, and there you find the veil, and there you find one man, one time a year, not without blood, is the only one that's able to go beyond that veil. You now get to New Testament doctrine, the foundation upon which our salvation is based, the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is Jesus dying for us. And what happens? That veil is torn. Not by man, but by God. Signifying that now that which was forbidden of man to enter into the presence of God is now made open to every man through the precious blood of his Son. You start piecing Scripture together. You start seeing, wait a minute, the blood is important. Wait a minute, that blood must be on my heart. One man, one time a year, not without blood. And it makes you realize that you don't have a chance of standing before God unless you're clothed in the blood of the Lamb. Don't you see how it all works, folks? So the pictures that you read about in the Old Testament, you say, it's just a bunch of old stories. Well, you can say that if you want to, but with someone who has a discerning heart, who is reading the Scripture to see the type, and then to go to the New Testament and see that type fulfilled, my goodness, the Bible is an amazing book. And so you keep reading, and then you get over here to Hebrews 9, and you read what the Holy Spirit says about it, and we can learn that it was God Himself who was completing the type and adding the finishing touches to the picture. So from the Old Testament to the New, the picture unfolds until God Himself explains the matter to us and shows us the point He is making about Jesus, His Son. Folks, does this not show us the immense importance that God puts on types? I mean, think about it for a minute. With all that was going on when Jesus was hanging on the cross, God, listen, with all that was going on when Jesus was on that cross, with all that was happening, God did not forget to mark the significance of that event to which so many Old Testament types pointed to by ripping that veil and showing that the closed way was by the death of His Son now made open. God didn't, listen, think about it, with all that was going on, God even remembered that little detail and tore that veil. Do you remember at the Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah showed up? Peter, James, and John, Jesus up on the mountain. And all of a sudden a cloud came upon the mountain. Moses and Elijah showed up. And there was a conversation that was taking place between the two prophets and Jesus. Peter, James, and John are sitting there listening to this conversation. And the Bible tells us that they were speaking, and I quote, of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, if that was what occupied center attention when Jesus was on the earth and alive, don't you think that heaven must have been abuzz with what was taking place when Jesus was hanging on Calvary? And yet, the types were not forgotten by God. So accurate are all their details, each one had to be fulfilled exactly by Jesus. Folks, get this word. Jesus was the antitype. That means the fulfillment of all the types. So not only are they pictures of long past events, which we may compare with what happens afterwards, but they are the plans. All of those Old Testament types are the plans. They are the blueprints with which the New Testament must correspond. Everybody got that? Am I the only one getting this? All right. I don't know. It just seems like you're not with me. Are you with me? Okay. Let me illustrate again. You remember when John gave us the account of the crucifixion? John said that when they came to Jesus, that He was already dead, and they break not His legs. So they came to the one thief, and they broke His legs. You say, well, why did they do that? So you couldn't hold yourself up. When the legs were broken, you couldn't hold yourself up. You just fall forward. You can't breathe. The weight of you're already exhausted from hanging on the cross, from the beating that you had to take. So when the legs are broken, you just fall forward and you can't pick yourself up and put the pressure off of your expanded chest so you can breathe. So you die. You die. But when they came to Jesus, He was dead already, so they break not His legs. You say, well, what's so important about that? Well, that's important because of the type that was mentioned in Exodus 12:46. In Exodus 12:46, when God was giving Moses the instruction about the lamb that was to be offered at Passover, of which Jesus is the antitype, He's the fulfillment of that Passover lamb. God gave Moses specific instruction that that lamb was to be spotless, in other words, pure, with no blemish. And of course, nobody met that criteria except for Jesus. And so, but not only that, that lamb could not have any broken bones. And so when they came to the cross, there's Jesus, and Jesus was the fulfillment of that picture in that not a bone of him, where the scripture says, not a bone of him shall be broken. So it is in the Old Testament ordinances concerning the Passover that we read the lamb was not to have any broken bones. Folks, the point is, the Spirit of God made sure this fulfillment of the Old Testament type was fulfilled to its minutest detail. All that was going on when Jesus was on the cross. I mean, think about it. He could have called 10,000 angels to come and set him free. Think about it. All of hell was attacking him. Darkness fell upon the earth for 3 hours as the devil hurled everything that he could at the Son of God as he paid sin's penalty. All that was happening. And yet, God made sure that every minute type that was given in the Old Testament illustration book, God made sure that every type was fulfilled to its minutest detail. Let me tell you something. If any one of us had been writing that, we'd have left something out. But God didn't miss a point. This is God's book. So the types are important to God. They are the blueprints. Let me say this again. Listen carefully now. They are the blueprints that God used to establish this wonderful structure that we now know as New Testament salvation. All right, second reason. Everybody got the first one?
Yeah.
All right, second reason. The Lord Jesus, not only did God think much of types, but the Lord Jesus thought much of types. Not only do we see God concerned with typology, but the Lord Jesus was greatly concerned with typology. Again and again and again and again, Jesus referred to them and showed others how they pointed to him. Let me give you an example. Just think about what Luke says concerning those Emmaus Road disciples. Just think about that. Let's go over there. Let's go over to that passage. Let's see. It's Luke. Where is that? Luke 24. Go over to Luke 24. Let's just read it afresh here. Luke 24, let's begin in verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, now watch this, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the, what? Prophets. Where do you read about the prophets? In the Old Testament. Now, watch now. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Matthew. No, not Matthew. Moses. Who wrote the first book in the Bible? Moses. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the what? Scriptures, the things concerning himself. And go on down to verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he, what? Opened unto us the scriptures. Not only was God concerned with typology, Jesus was concerned with typology. The point is, folks, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself and answered from those scriptures his own question that we read about in verse 26. He's the one. Remember, Jesus asked them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then entered into his glory? It was Jesus that asked that question of these men. In other words, boys, you've read the Old Testament. Doesn't the Old Testament say that the Messiah had to suffer and then enter into his glory? You've read Psalm 22. You've read Isaiah 53. And they probably sat there and went, oh, yeah. And then he proceeds to answer the very question that he asked them by going back into the Old Testament, beginning at Moses, and bringing them step by step through all the types and through all the pictures, through all the representation, showing that he is the antitype of it all. Point is, the sufferings and the glory were predicted in the types as well as in direct prophecies. So it is no wonder that their hearts did burn within them. Can you imagine? Man, I've sat under some great preachers and teachers through the years. Whew, I can't imagine having the Lord Jesus teach you the scriptures. I guess your heart would burn within you, wouldn't it? So if we neglect to understand the types, folks, we're going to miss some great Bible teaching. Let me illustrate, not with scriptural, but just an illustration. Suppose we're going to build a new auditorium. Hold on a minute. I got to realign here. Oh, that feels wonderful. Okay, I'm good. Let's suppose that we're going to build a new auditorium. And we would hire an architect and he would draw up a set of blueprints for us, and they're that thick. Right, Tom? Blueprints are that thick for a new building. Brings all the blueprints in here, and the council sits down, and we look them over, and we lay them out on the table, and we look them over and study them. We say, okay, I believe this is the building we want. Now, the truth of the matter is, you folks don't give two hoots about the blueprints. You don't care about the blueprints. All you care about is the finished product. And how we're going to pay for it. But the finished product is the main thing as far as you're concerned. You don't care about the blueprints, but you would care about the building. And once the building was finished, you would walk in that building and you would be amazed at the structure. And you would sit down and you'd look around and you'd marvel and you'd be amazed and you'd say, wow, Pastor, this is beautiful, this is great. And so we all get in our new building and it's our first service and everything is, you know, everything's working. And then I reach under the pulpit and I pull out the blueprints and I lay them down up here on the pulpit. And I say, you say, well, what you got there, Pastor? And I say, well, I got page after page after page after page after page of intricate detail of every square inch of this place. Look on this page. This page shows you all the ductwork You're looking around. You say, well, I don't see any ductwork. I know, but this page shows you where it is. And then I say, this page right here shows you all the wiring. You say, well, I don't see any of that. No, but thank God for it. We can see. We have light. Oh, okay. All right. What's that page? Well, this page is all the sound system. And you can't see it, but there's, I don't know if you all realize, there's $90,000+ worth of sound equipment just in this room. That's how expensive that stuff is. $90,000 for sound system when we remodeled this auditorium. But you folks don't know. You don't know where all that. Well, you know the speakers are hanging here. But you don't realize all the wiring and all of the little sockets and the receptacles and all the stuff that's all over. You don't think about that. All you care about is when somebody speaks, can I hear them? When somebody sings, can I hear it? That's all you care about. But I've got the blueprint up here, and I got all the intricate details, and where every wire goes, and where every speaker's hanging, and where every port is located in this building. I got it all right up here on the blueprints. And if there is somebody out here who says, you know, Pastor, I'm interested in the wiring of a building. Would you mind if I look at those? I'd say, hey, break a leg, go for it. The average person doesn't give two hoots about where all that stuff is, but there might be somebody that's really interested. So you come and I say, hey, looky, here you go, have at it. And you know, there would be page after page after page after page of intricate detail of every aspect of our new building. In the blueprints, listen to me now, you would find all the ductwork, all the wiring, all the sound system, all the lighting, multitudes of little things and hidden things that once the building was built, you would never know were even there, but are necessary in order for the building to do what it was designed to do. You with me? And folks, that's what all the Old Testament types do. Those Old Testament types are the blueprint of New Testament truth. They are the blueprint. They're drawn by God, which give us all that went into providing that wonderful salvation. Number three. Not only do the types speak of Christ, but Christ spoke of the types as being about Him. He said they were about Him. Turn over, you're already in Luke 24, just go a couple pages over to John 5. Let me read you a few verses here. Look at John 5. When we did our study on the life of Christ, I really enjoyed these verses. But it was been about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, we looked at these. Look at verse 39, John chapter 5. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Whoa. Look at verse 38. He said, and he's talking to the Pharisees here, and he says, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye have not believed. Now look at verse 39. The implication or the idea in from the Greek term that's used here is ye seek. You search the Scriptures. He's saying to the Pharisees, you guys search the Scriptures. You search them. And they did. They knew the Old Testament like the back of their hand. But they couldn't see Jesus. Ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said, you search the Bible, but you can't see me. He said, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Watch carefully now. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Jesus believed in typology to the point that he believed that typology was about him. You say, well, where did Moses write of Jesus? Well, here's an interesting fact, folks. The only place in all of the writings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and the Psalms that Moses wrote, the only place where Moses made a direct prophetic announcement about the coming Messiah is found in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. That's the only place. That's it. In that prophecy, the coming of Messiah is clearly foretold. So, if Jesus said, and he did in verse 46, Moses wrote of me, where did he write of Jesus? The answer is in the types. He wrote of him when he wrote about the tabernacle. He wrote of him when he wrote about the law. He wrote of him when he wrote about the Passover lamb. He wrote of him when he wrote all the instruction that God gave him when he was on Mount Sinai. They all speak of him. The tabernacle, the offerings, the feast, the decorations, the curtain, the altar, the entire law is nothing more than a type, a picture, a representation, a blueprint, if you will, of Jesus. And they all told a different aspect of his work of redemption for us. And then, very quickly, number four. Well, I got five, but let me give you one more. A fourth reason is the very high place accorded the types by the New Testament writers. Why should we study typology? The New Testament writers, they kind of felt it was important. And the reason I say that is because they just kept going back and giving us the types as Jesus was the fulfillment of them. All of the Old Testament, all the types in the Old Testament are referred to in the New Testament as the Scriptures. And we know that. Jesus said in John 10:35, the Scriptures cannot be broken. The types and the shadows must be fulfilled in the New Testament. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15 for just a minute. Hurry, 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 hurry. I win. I got it. First Corinthians 15. I'm going to start. You catch up. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Folks, Christ was crucified according to the Scriptures. He was resurrected according to the Scriptures. And there are many other examples where the New Testament authors reference the Old Testament blueprint. Then lastly, we cannot fully understand the Old Testament without becoming familiar with the study of types. Again, as I said to you last Wednesday night, the book of Hebrews is almost entirely made up of Old Testament references. Just about everything in that book. The whole argument of the book of Hebrews is that the substance, Christ, is better than the Old Testament shadow, than the Old Testament type. better than Moses, better than Joshua, better than Abraham, better than Aaron, better than the first tabernacle. Jesus is better than the Levitical sacrifices. He's better than the whole cloud of witnesses that are found in the whole Old Testament. And of course, his blood is better than the blood of Abel, better than the Passover lamb. His blood's superior. You see, sometimes we forget the New Testament writers were Old Testament scholars. Right? So naturally, their perspective of New Testament events is going to be seen in the fulfillment of the Old Testament types. And if we fail to see these types, we're going to miss so much of the beauty that the Holy Spirit intends for us to see. Now, you might wonder what I'm trying to get you to do here, what I'm trying to get you to see, and the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to get you to read your Bible in a different light. I'm trying to get you to read your Bible and on every page of your Bible see Jesus. I'm trying to get you to read it like a builder looking at a set of blueprints, you'll be able to see all that went into the building of the building. You know, if you came in here and gave me a set of blueprints, I'd stand there. Yeah, that's blue. I wouldn't know very much about it. I tell you what, folks, we need to sit down and read the Bible. You know, and I still say I'm convinced we don't read the Bible. I'm just convinced we don't. May God help us to read the old with the understanding that it is an illustration of the new. Your Bible will come alive. And you'll be richly blessed when you start reading the Bible looking for Jesus. Whether you're reading it in the old and you see him in type and picture, or whether you're reading it in the new and you see him in character and person. May God help us to understand the Bible. Let's pray. Our Father, how thankful we are for the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you will bless what's been said here tonight. Lord, open our understanding to see these things. Help us, Lord, to know and to realize that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, may we read it looking for Jesus on every page, whether it's in Genesis or whether it's in Matthew. Lord, may we look for Jesus on every page. Thank you, Father, for all those beautiful pictures and types that you gave. Help us to realize that all of it was written, the Holy Ghost, thus signifying that it's about Jesus. So, Lord, help us to see it and to read it and understand it in that light. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.